the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
All right, this week on the Media Podcast, across Arizona, I'd like to bring you names, faces, a little bit deeper dive. This is like an instructional video for some of you. Some of you, Kate Longworth will talk you out of the business. Some of you, she will talk you into the business. She is an Arizona Wildcat. You see her on Arizona Living on Your View and also GCU. She does work around the WNBA. She does things around March Madness. She's busy. And I've seen you do your thing from afar, but I want to take some time to chop it up with you, as we say. So thanks.
I know. I'm excited for this. I feel like we've been at sporting events together, so it's great to make it official now, especially because I think I've interviewed your daughter, right, in the past. I think with her job, she was on my Arizona Living show at one point.
She was at Changing Hands.
Yes, and I did a show there, and right away I knew that last name, and I wasn't sure in my head. I thought that with the last name, and then I'll tell you what, I did the 3-minute and 30 interview with her, and when she hit every question with a great 30-second soundbite, I'm like, TV genes are in her, and I knew it was.
She runs circles around me, Kate, let me tell you. So let's just start with the process of what got you interested in broadcasting, because you do more than just sports. Sports is not who you are. It's some of what you do, but what got you interested in broadcast? Because your journey is a little different than others that I've talked to.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things I feel like probably my parents saw in me, like you just mentioned about your daughter. Probably even before I saw it, just because of my personality, I was definitely the child who, if any type of news reporter showed up on the scene, I found myself right next to them, ready to talk to them if they had any questions. And then I was that child who was also interested in, like, when you were watching sports on television, I really liked to hear what the announcers were saying. And I would follow it up with questions as I was watching it with my parents. Likewise, stuff like the Today Show. I don't think I was as into like the stories. You're a child, they're not really hitting you. But I was really interested in how the reporters and anchors were delivering things. And I just remember one day my mom said, oh, that's what you'll do. And then I was like, yeah, that's what I'll do. It's kind of a real funny, organic story. And here I am.
Is there a teacher that you wish you could see or sit across from, or do you stay in touch with them? I stay in touch with my college professor. He's almost 90 now. He's in Dallas. Without him, I'm not sitting here talking to you. Do you have some people that you want to give a nod to?
Yes. And it's so exciting for me because the one teacher that pops to mind when I think about that is my sophomore honors English teacher. And it was in the Valley. I moved my sophomore year of high school from Los Angeles to Arizona. Mm-hmm. Very, very hard move. I came from a very small school to this very big school, and I felt a little lost.
Where was it?
In high school. And Paul Denuser was my English teacher. And as the world would have it, you know, I went to school just a couple years here. Then I went to college and I went out and did my career. And then 10 years ago, I moved back here. Got the GCU job. I'm on my first day reporting sidelines for them. And I hear the public address announcer come on. And right away, I was like, oh, that's Mr. Denuser. And he is now my colleague, but I still call him Mr. Denuser. And I feel like he recognized that I loved writing. And I think I was kind of just new and didn't know where I fit in. And he really helped me bring that, you know, that talent I had out. And I had really great English writing teachers. I really love the writing part of it. And those are the teachers that stand out to me for sure.
So Mountain View High School.
Mountain Point.
Pride. Forget about Mountain View. Get them out of here. So Pride over there. I know, right? No. If you're a Mountain Point Pride, it's Desert Vista. That's your rival.
That's tough.
That's not good. That will never work.
For when my kids end up going there, I'm sure.
So you're at Mountain Point, and then you decide in high school, did you compete? Were you an athlete? What did you do in high school?
Yes, I played soccer and it was fun, a great varsity soccer program for the women over there. And they just had such a great athletic program, and they really zeroed in, I felt like, on helping kids who wanted to go to the next level in something. Like the training department there was incredible. They would send out student trainers with us at practice. And I know some of those friends now who have gone on, and they are PTs in real life, you know? And I think that was really cool. And likewise, they had a broadcast program there and, you know, a TV news station, and we got to do the morning announcements. And same thing, I went in there and started doing that. And I was like, I love this. I want to keep doing it.
You knew right away, right?
Yeah, I did. I think I knew right away. And I think a follow-up a lot of times for a female in sports is, well, how did you decide sports? I get that question all the time. And it's a very, not awkward, but an interesting question for me, because I never had the question. I guess my thing was, why not sports? I never went through that question of why not. Like, I thought, yes, I'll do sports. And I think that's part, in part to, I love sports. I played sports. My parents, you know, my dad talked sports to me just like he talked to my brother about him. So I never thought, that's weird, a female wants to do sports. I just thought, well, I want to do it, so that's what I'm going to do. So not maybe as easy of a pathway sometimes, but yeah, I felt like it was attainable.
You know, it's times like when I'm talking with you that I think back, the first time I met Paula Bovin. Paula's like my sister now, because we've known each other for almost 40 years. We're sitting in a press box in San Diego back in the day, and she's this close to punching out and saying, I can't do this. And Oral Hershiser saved her basically and said, you're really good, hang in there. And there is that trailblazing aspect that I've seen through the years. I've never, like, if I'm talking with Jody Jackson, or now I'm talking with you, Jeannie Zelasco back in the day at Fox, Jeannie and I went to Sadie Hawkins together in high school. I mean, that's how
old. No way. That's funny.
Yeah. But it's like you go through all of these trailblazers and front runners, and now it's why not, like you said. Well, we'll get a female and we'll put her on the sidelines. When I taught at Cronkite a few times, I'd say, do you guys know how Aaron Andrews happened? Do you know who Phyllis George is? Do you have an idea of the history of how sexist it was on the air back in the day? A bunch of dudes that were oogling over. It was gross. Jane Kennedy and all that. And so, you know, I think when I see you do your thing, you just, especially, it's easy. I got to believe it's easy for you to do GCU on one hand because of the environment. I got to believe there's times where it's not easy for you to do because of the environment, because it is so rowdy. It is so raucous. It's great. It's beyond great. But but here you are, and I'll get back to college in a minute. It's just me on a rant like I like to do. You know, the deal is, if all you're going to do is sports, you're not being the whole person. And what you have over at your view at Arizona Living is you're doing things around Arizona. So that's an art. And not a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, you know, probably because I'm a talker, right? I was a pretty good student growing up. Probably the only flaw every time on that report card was she does enjoy talking. And I think that's why I love reporting or hosting things much like you're doing right now. And you have this, the gift of conversation. You know, you just, everyone has a story. And I feel like, too, that probably fosters in being a sports reporter, because I don't know what the viewer at home has in common with a multi-million dollar athlete, right? That's hard. Oh, what do you do with your $3 million check a week? You know, I don't relate. But what I do relate to is when I start talking to them and they tell me, you know, like, I'm a foodie, or my family, you know, when I was pregnant with my second son, there were 5 Diamondbacks wives at the time pregnant, and I was covering the Diamondbacks. We really quickly all bonded because our kids were being born all at the same time and we were going through everything at the same time. So I think when you can humanize that multi-million dollar athlete, you really connect them with the audience, and that comes through conversation and caring about their human element and the story to it. And so I think that has made it really kind of seamless, whether I'm covering one of our local businesses in Arizona and getting the history of how this tradition became about in Arizona with a restaurant, or if it's out at a sport event that the moment is happening today, there's still a unique athlete story out on the court or out on the field or in the stands. And then even, you know, I mean, if you tell a story about a game day in and day out, but if you find that hook with the story that night, man, people are talking about it the next day, right? So that's what I think is really fun.
Kate Longworth is with us for a couple of minutes. You can see her on Your View Arizona Living. You will see her this fall, winter, with Coach Drew and GCU. You will see her in the spring, right? You're doing WNBA in the summer. Spring, you're doing NCAA. So let's transition back to schooling. You decide to go to the U of A. You go to Tucson. And what was the decision behind that? Did you have other schools you were looking at? Was soccer still in the picture? Fill me in there.
Yeah. Yes, I still wanted to play soccer. I had started nagging knee injuries. All great news, but not as easy to fix too. And so it was one of those, okay, if I'm going to a, you know, maybe not that top tier program, do I want to go and keep devoting to this and maybe, you know, not feeling at my best. And then I think I started to think about sports and I was like, or I could start covering it right now. Mm. And that was really exciting to me because I think I had this awareness of, I still want to play soccer. I love soccer, but I think my future is covering soccer or the like, you know? So I wanted to kind of start transitioning into that. And then being in Phoenix, I knew what an incredible broadcast journalism program was right in the neighborhood. I was intrigued about going away from home, but still close enough to come back to home. And then I, being from California, I really looked into California schools. But, you know, I think one thing Arizona does a great job of, at the time I was looking for colleges, I was a California girl at heart. But they invest in high school students of keeping them in state, right? And so there was some incentive when you're incentive rather when you're 17 years old, 16 years old and getting a college scholarship. So all of a sudden, if U of A was offering me a college scholarship, I was starting to look at them and sure. Eventually that kind of led me that way. And they had, again, I love writing and they had a smaller journalism, kind of the old school writing program. And I was like, well, I could do TV as an internship, but I could really focus on writing. So that was the thought process.
Who were some of the people that you were in class with that you are still in the business that the audience may recognize? Or,
well, you mentioned Jody Jackson. She and I are terrific friends at each other's weddings. We are very close. And I love to mention that because it is not always easy to have a female in the business where it's a non-competitive relationship.
Yep.
And she and I always hands down have been that for each other, where we'd pick up the phone, call each other, tell each other leads. Hey, I heard this about your team. This might make a great story. And then best thing ever, I never thought would happen. We got to work together covering the Diamondbacks and we seamlessly handed off where I got the night, you know, I'm leaving at 11 PM, leaving the clubhouse. The nugget I got, my first phone call was to her to talk to her about, you know, what I found out so she could pick it up in the morning when she got to the ballpark. We joked, sometimes people would interchangeably like say, "Hey, Jody," from afar.
Yeah.
And I, the greatest compliment to each other. So Jody, and then I did intern at Fox Sports. So that was kind of funny just to be in a business interning for people who I was like, whoa, these people are doing what I want to do. And then it came kind of back and I got to do it. You know, Mark Rita, who has since passed.
Hello, Mark Rita, the great people ever.
Yes. And, you know, like it was such a treat to come back and actually be, you know, a colleague with him after, you know, I kind of just stood like wide-eyed in the truck trying to understand everything he was saying. And then to be considered, I never would say like I was an equal, but you know, Mark Rita, he would treat you like one. So moments like that, I think were great. And then I, you know, worked for NBC Sports, which was Comcast Sportsnet. And I think there were just people who, they're more regionalized with that because it was a regional program. So it's not maybe someone our Arizona audience knows, but it was certainly people when you got there, you're like, oh, they were at ESPN doing College Game Day when I was at that College Game Day. And now I'm anchoring a site, you know, alongside them. So there was cool moments like that for sure.
That's cool. That's cool. What, so on the broadcast in college and getting into the business, and if you were to give a piece of advice to someone who's taking this in right now, maybe the parent of someone who's thinking about getting into this business, what would you give them?
Well, I know nowadays, and you probably see it too, you can BS with your phone, but I would challenge if you want to be what you are seeing literally on TV, it's more than that. And you need to invest in that. And it takes effort. I think there are some jobs out there, the more followers you have, yes, they're going to hire you. But I think the integrity of some things can be, you know, working your way up. And I think the great thing about doing that, you learn everything. You learn the business. I learned some producing side, your first gig, sometimes you're shooting your own camera, that type of thing, to understand the big picture was really great. And I think not to get discouraged. I think sometimes, I had so many stories where a job would come in. I'm like, this is it. This is meant for me. And then it wouldn't happen. And then another, at the time I didn't know Comcast Sportsnet, NBC Sports was coming to the West Coast. And I wanted to stay on the West Coast. And then in the process of me almost taking a job, like with the Red Sox, like NBC Sports happened in San Francisco, So there's things like sometimes you can't see that are coming. And I think to be flexible, I think if you really know what you want to do, dive in, and maybe, your dream job doesn't have to happen overnight. I think we have a uniqueness right now, whether it's gratification right away, instant gratification. And I think I hope to continue to see in the TV business, it's not that. I hope it continues to be, you put your time in, you get your experiences, and then you continue to grow and climb the ladder. I think the world is changing, no doubt. But I think that's a great way of moving up in it, A, for your appreciation, for experience. And then I think when you are somewhere, you can enjoy it. You can sit back like right now, where you're at in your great office, and you have so many memories of the times you were going all around the valley trying to catch the latest story. And now you can sit back and reflect on how cool it was you got to do all that,
When did you decide to quit? And here's the thing. You never have quit that I know of, but all of us in this industry have had that moment. I'm done. And then you talk yourself off the ledge, or your significant other says, what are you talking about? You're really good. Yeah. Or there's somebody like Jody in your circle that is, no, you're fine. This is I tell people this is a very lonely business. It can be a very lonely business, because if you decide to go public with the frustrations of the place that you're at, or this assignment or that assignment, you're done. You're toast. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, did you ever have that moment where it's like, I'm going to go do something else?
Yeah. I think for me, I in my naive 20 days, like when you're in your 20s, I remember a reporter saying, well, you can't have it all. And I remember having a chip on my shoulder and being like, watch this.
Yeah.
And I think you can't have it all on the scale that you think. You can't have it all at 100%. And I think it's okay to tell yourself and your career self or your family self, whichever one you were going to be a little less than 100% at, that I do have it all with a balance. And I don't think I was ready till certain terms to come about that. And I think it came about, I had the greatest pride, and I think I'm better on TV as a mom, because my perspective on life, I used to live and die by the live shot, right? Because that's what you would do. Sure. And then you go home, and if you don't have anyone to bother you, you think about the live shot.
Yes.
Well, now I'll tell you what, I do a live shot, and I think I do it effortlessly, within, reason. And I also think I do it with a joy. And then I also get to go home and be mom, and I really enjoy that. And then there have been some hard moments that I've probably, like you've said, gone from the working 50 hours a week and every holiday and traveling on the road with an NFL or an MLB team, where I was like, I can't do that anymore. I remember when my 4-year-old was playing T-ball, and he goes, wait, mom, you're not watching my game. You're going to go watch the big boys play.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, ouch. Yeah. Now, hindsight, he would probably go to every D-backs game with me if I was out there, right? But at that moment, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I want to kind of work on this balance thing and see how to do it. And there are some seasons where I'm busier and I do miss out on some of those things. But I feel like now I've achieved the 5 days balance.
Yeah.
Where it was like season to season to season.
No, that's well put. I always talk about life balance with my team, or just, I missed some things early in my career, and then I woke up like, what are you doing?
Because there's
always something. There's always another game. There's always another press conference, and it becomes almost like a drug. I have to be at this. No, you don't have to be at this. You don't have to be at that. You need to just chill out.
And I had a moment too. I remember in San Francisco, my phone one night going off nonstop, and I was like texting back, and I was like in a very panicked rate, you know, like, oh my gosh, I must have looked like, oh, she's focused on something. And I remember the person at the table being like, what do you do for a living? Are you like an on-call surgeon or doctor? Like, oh no, I'm a sports reporter. And the A's might be trading someone, or like I'm a sports reporter and I cover the Raiders, and we're not sure if Jamarcus Russell is going to be there tomorrow. And they're like, what? And I was like, no, this is a really big deal. If he's not there, I have to be there at this time, you know? And then it was like perspective. In my world that day, that was the biggest thing. But when someone thought I was like a brain surgeon, I was like, tone it down.
Before I get you out of here, the Yearview Arizona Living side of it. Okay. So you can go do sports, but it's got to be difficult to just walk in and say, okay, my mind today is not on GCU taking on Gonzaga. My mind is being flipped to the best pizza in Arizona, and here's the views that you need to go get at some vineyard in Prescott, right? That's the show, right?
Right. And I think that goes back to the conversation, and I just really love talking to people. And so it's been a very natural, seamless, I don't think about it type transition. And I go in and out of it, you know, constantly. And I think it's just personality too. I mean, I know sometimes my husband's like, okay, maybe not interrogating the neighbors right now. And I'm really just being like, so what did you do last week? Oh, did you like going there? Did you order that? Like I'm genuinely interested in a question asker. I feel like it made for that thing. And then I think too, I don't know, it's a lot of fun. I'm exploring a state and a home that I really love, and I'm hearing people's stories, and then and it all connects somehow, you know that. I've interviewed your daughter, you know, at Changing Hands Bookstore, and here we are. So somehow I feel like it, whether it connects back to sports or something, when you start talking to someone, it just all comes natural, and you're like, oh yeah, that's why I do this. It just makes sense.
I feel like I started doing, when I did this, when I left Channel 3 and I opened Sports 360, I have a friend, he's very, he's tied into one of the biggest stars in Hollywood. His wife is this actor's agent. So whenever I need something, or if there's a movie premiere coming out that is sports related, I get asked to go. You've been to Junkets, I go to Junkets. We go to Junkets, and so I do them, and I found myself, the very first one that I did was Fever Pitch. I'm interviewing Drew Barrymore and Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon was, as they said, oh, he's going to be something someday. And I walk in, I see the movie, they screen the movie, they take us to dinner with the cast and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's over with that night. Next morning, I get up, and I'm like 2 hours beforehand, not much hair to do here. They're doing hair and makeup. You know, we're at the Beverly Hills Hilton or the Beverly Hills Four Seasons, and it's 6 minutes with Drew Barrymore. And I walk in, and she says, oh, you're from Arizona. This is Brad from Arizona. Oh, you're from Arizona. I said, yeah, my daughters are pretty excited that I'm getting to talk to you. So, oh, do you want an autographed baseball? Oh, you know, we're not allowed to take, of course, I'll take two.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it was. and my palms were sweating because I'm outside of Charles Barkley. Yeah, easy. P6.
Yeah, right.
Gerald, oh, yeah, no big deal. Actor? Oh, my gosh.
I know, a different field.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's growth, though. It's growth. You could go, you could go pivot at anything if you want. I enjoy doing that stuff, too.
Yes. Yeah. And I did. I mean, like you're saying, those press junkets. Moneyball was when I was the beat reporter for the Oakland A's. And got to sit there and talk to Brad Pitt. It probably helped that I also sat there with him with Billy Bean. And although that's a big name in the sports world, I worked with him every day, and he was a terrific, approachable person. So that was great. But I did have a moment at a pro-am where Matthew McConaughey came up, and my co-anchor did say, I think that's the quietest you've ever been. I might've been in a little bit of awe talking to Matthew McConaughey, but I did get my question in there. But you're right. You know, the athletes, I mean, for the most part, you're around them every day, so you just start to see them as normal people with an incredible talent, for sure.
Athletes want to be actors, actresses, and singers. Singers and actresses and actors want to be athletes.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. Arizona Living has been on the air over 200 episodes. Where do you see it going?
I think it'll just keep expanding. I mean, there's stories to tell here. There's places to visit. There's food to try. There's things to see what you can do, whether it's with your family or for your house improvement. There's just such a, it just covers the bases in so many different things, right? So I just think it can continue to go because I think there's people who, A, want to get their story out there, want to get their business out there. And then I think there's the consumer at home who wants to learn about something, has a favorite restaurant, didn't know why it was, you know, the history behind the family owned part of it, or is looking for something in the home improvement area or for exercise and does a Google search and up pops, you know, Your View Arizona Living. They were there last month, you know, that type of thing. So I think thankfully there's a great product for it and great consumer too.
That is good stuff. That is Kate Longworth. Anything else you want to add that I didn't ask you before I get you out of here?
No, let's do this again. It's a lot of fun. And I am very happy that now I have interviewed two of you and your family. You guys are great.
I'll go get my other three kids, my wife. Thanks, Kate.
I'll just keep going.
That is this week's Arizona Media Podcast.